All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Wild Times, episode 36.
Wild Times.
You are joined tonight, as always, by myself, the broologist, the ever handsome professor who's headbanging over there, Mr. Ratep. What's going on, Ratep?
Not much, man. I'm in a great mood, not stressed at all. Very happy we got this popping off. We got several million people concurrently viewing the YouTube live right now, at least 77 million. I love it. Love you guys. Fuck off.
And then and the handsome gentleman in the lower left corner of my screen, the broducer who was off-grid broducing, Mr. Patrick DeLuca. What's up, Papa P?
Cheers. Drinking American lager. I support American companies. It's delicious. It's crisp. And I'm just happy, man. It's Christmas time. I got two trees up at the house.
Two.
Some wrapped presents are starting to show up under the tree.
Wow.
From elves. They're all, the from tags all say from elves. And it's good, man. This is the best time of year. This next 3 weeks is my favorite time of year every single fucking year.
I know it is. Yeah. I think this will be the first year I haven't seen your Christmas display in probably our 6 or 7 years of friendship because of COVID.
Yeah, man. You're going to have to get over
it. I don't even know what it looks like.
Hey, what is Christmas like in Zimbabwe?
Hot. It's the middle of summer. Usually like 95 degrees out, and you have a tree, and you watch TV where it's snowing in America, and the kid's getting his tongue stuck to the frozen ice ball, and you're like, I don't understand this. I'm from Africa. This doesn't make any sense. It's hot here. And it's fun. Yeah, it's really fun.
Do people get in the, like, is Christmas kind of a thing in Zimbabwe? Like, do people
celebrate?
Time.
Yeah, big time. Because it's, right. You know, it's English Christian like community. So there's Christmas is a big thing. You know, it's not cold. There's no snow. People go on holiday like what you do in the summer here. Like you go to a lake house or you know, maybe go on safari, which is less what people do here. But it's still a big thing for sure. Yeah, Christmas is big. It's just usually like 94 degrees out, which is not quite the same feeling.
Yeah,
definitely not. By the way, Daniel Cool, Courtney Granger, and Adi are all chiming in. They're saying sounds like an Australian Christmas. Very international shit going on right now with the Brosners.
Well, Southern Hemisphere Wonderful. Christmas. I like it.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. Oh, Brosners, what are you drinking tonight? We're looking at your comments coming up. You know, I've made myself a delicious orange old fashioned. Patrick's got himself an American lager. Ratep, what are you working on?
I got myself 19 Crimes glass of wine and 3 tall boy Modelos just in case we get crazy.
I was going to say, there's no way you're only drinking a glass of wine. That doesn't sound right.
Nah, I've been drinking for 2 weeks straight.
By the way, we got so far we've got cheap box red wine, beers, Sorry. Jack Daniels, Amarita, and lime juice, Fireball, it's Christmas time, White Claws. Someone, James O'Hara, says Tiger Blood.
Nice.
Am I too old to know what that is? What the fuck is Tiger Blood?
Dude, it's the Charlie Sheen thing, you idiot. It's from years ago. He was, you know, he drinks Tiger Blood because he's insane and it makes him powerful. By the way, James O'Hara has incessantly been all caps texting in the chat. He wants, he keeps mentioning Dolores. He wants a P.O. box he has a gift for.
Oh, come on. Come on. That's out of line, James.
That's mental, mate. That shit ain't happening, boy.
Yep.
So for all the Brosners that have joined us live tonight, this happened by accident. This really, really did. So I put up a story on my Instagram that was like, hey, going to make myself this nice drink live on the show tonight, not realizing that it's not a live show. And then Ratep texted me in a sweaty panic going, are we going live tonight? And I just wrote back, yeah, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, you know,
so here we are.
I don't get a text back for weeks. And then you post, I'm getting drunk live tonight on the podcast. And so obviously I'm
so sweaty.
A little concerned.
The professor's sweat smells so specifically like failure and onions. It's got such a specific reek to it.
I'm very successful. I don't know what you're talking about.
Real quick, for those who are here to actually listen to some wildlife shit, Forrest, your desk is made out of pure mahogany. I've seen it.
That's right. I also have many smooth leather-bound books. Yeah, it smells very nice.
So what came across your mahogany desk this week? What's like your number one?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, hands down, big thing, a believed to be new discovery, right? Now, usually when we think we're discovering a new species, we're like, oh my goodness, great, this new tiny little ant that nobody's seen before. No, no, not this time, baby birds. This is a new species of whale that is believed to have been discovered this week off the coast of Mexico.
Wait a minute. Were they at a bar in Oswego, New York, or what?
Oh, my God. Fat shame.
With all your ex-girlfriends swimming around?
No.
So this is a real thing. After a few isolated reports, a team of researchers set out to try and find what kind of whales were making these unidentified acoustic signals. So each whale has their own acoustic signature, right? They all sound different. It's kind of like accents for humans, right? It's like, oh, you're from Australia, you sound goofy as shit, mate. And, we sound terrible because we're Americans, and I say zebra funny. You know, all whales sound different. But beaked whale experts working alongside the sea shepherd, Patrick, you may have a tad of familiarity with them.
Sure do.
Managed to take photographs and video recordings of three whales that were completely unidentified and also recorded their acoustic signature and confirmed that this is, well, it's still up in the air because there's no genetics yet, but more or less confirmed that there is a new species of whale 300 miles from the U.S. border.
That's fucking bizarre. Did it say what depth they were at when they found these whales? Were they super deep?
On the surface. Nope. They came up to breach. Now, here's what's crazy, right? Like, we think we know everything, right? We think we know about the whole world. We're like, we've got it all on lockdown. You know, these are new species, not of ants, not of little tiny microscopic things, of freaking whales that we're uncovering in 2020.
Yeah.
New species of whale. This is huge. Like, this is,
no pun intended.
You know, this goes along with everything I've ever said, which is that, you know, we are so arrogant in the assumption that we know everything, and the world's a big place and there's so much left to be discovered. Thank you, WT Willie, pulling up the video. Do you mind hitting is there play on that? I don't even remember from the article. There is a video. Yeah. Can you hit play on that?
These are the whales. These are the new species.
It's crazy that they got these on video too, you know, like out of all the, what is it? It's something like we only know 5%. We've only explored 5% of the ocean. I don't know what the stat is,
but it's something very limited. You know, the saying that everybody goes by is we know more about the surface of the moon than we do about the bottom of the ocean.
It kind of looks like, one of those beaked whales. It looks
Correct.
More like a porpoise or a dolphin.
Correct.
Probably larger pilot whale type thing.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. It looks like a beaked whale. You know,
Owen Roberts on YouTube says, they discovered my mom.
Nice.
Nick Tompkins has a serious question for us. He says, do you think that this has something to do with human absence due to COVID? As we've seen already during this thing.
So where they found these whales, the San Benitos Islands, I've actually been out there fishing a couple times. It's beautiful out there. There is a settlement at Cedros, which is the island right next to the San Benitos, where people live year-round, regardless of COVID, et cetera. And, you know, these people make their livelihood fishing. I think what this is oversight, so to speak. You know, we think we know everything. We've been around. We've seen, you know, how many hundreds of people or dozens of people have arguably seen these whales, but they don't know enough about species of whales to go, wait a minute, that looks different, or hey, that sounds different. So my guess is it's kind of one of those hidden in plain sight, like right under our nose type things, mm-hmm. where these whales have probably been around, you know, but when you see a spout in the distance, you don't go, oh my God, that's a new species of whale, because you think you know every species of whale, or we as human beings think we know that. So I think it just took someone with a keen eye from the Sea Shepherd or CONAP to be like, wait a minute, something's different here, and then go out and confirm it, which I think is absolutely incredible.
That's amazing, dude.
Dude,
that's super cool.
Speaking of unidentified or shit that we think that we know, but we don't know shit about. Did you guys see this? Israeli space security chief says that extraterrestrials do exist, and that Trump knows about it. This is like legit on mainstream news, on like NBC News and all the other sites. This guy literally says that there's a galactic federation that's been waiting for humans to reach a stage where we will understand what space and spaceships are. This is like a decorated general, dude, who's saying this.
Where are you getting this from? I don't know what you're talking about.
It went around this week. It went around
big
time.
Okay.
I know a couple guys. In fact, the guys I was filming with this week claimed to be in contact with the Galactic Federation.
So the Galactic Federation, what is the Galactic Federation for those of us that have only watched Star Wars once?
Okay, so, all right, look, man, I'm a big-time believer in aliens, and
for sure.
Of course, I just think, you know, there's billions and billions and billions of stars, and we happen to, you know, cruise around one and we're here, so I'm thinking there's other shit. But
100% agree.
The Galactic Federation is a bit goofy when you start really getting into it. It's apparently a spaceship that's 5 miles long, where a bunch of people who just sound like normal humans, because sometimes people from the Galactic Federation will call into radio talk shows and talk to them, and they just sound like me or you or Ritet, more likely.
What does that mean?
And so I don't know. The Galactic Federation is supposedly a group of people that live on a spaceship that's huge. They're like 700 years old. It's pretty creepy.
So the Galactic Federation isn't a group of people. It's a group of extraterrestrials from around the universe.
But they sound like English-speaking white men.
Listen to me.
Men.
Stop fucking making it sound insane. You're mixing fact.
It is.
Wait, because you talk to your fucking Bitcoin harvesting lunatic that you work with?
The Galactic Federation is fact, you idiot.
I'm reading the fucking NBC News article, you moron. You're literally putting out misinformation. The Galactic Federation is not a group of 700-year-old tall humans who call into radio shows, you moron.
It is.
Fucking idiot. Anyways.
By the way, Nick Tompkins, Ritep, just gave us a shout-out.
Great.
He said the South Park episode of Whale Wars was amazing at the time that this happened. So, Forrest, at the time that the professor and I were making the show Whale Wars, South Park did a spoof episode.
I've seen it. I've seen the South Park spoof.
Yeah, Whale Wars.
Yep.
Great episode.
How spot on is it?
It's so spot on. And, like, everyone was like, hey, are you upset? Like, I was like, no, we just got spoofed on South Park. That's like
right.
the best compliment we could ever get.
Oh, it's
literally if Family Guy or South Park made fun of me running around chasing animals on Extinct or Alive, I could die happy. That's all I want. Yeah, that's the only reason I do the show.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding 100%. Me? That's a compliment. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, also it when it's on South Park, it spreads the word to tens of millions of people who have never heard of the show. So it's like immediately, you know? It was great, though.
If you and I weren't drunk the entire time we worked on that show, we probably would have celebrated it more. But
God, that's before. Did I know you before I was on the show? I just remember hating you when I first met you, and then we became friends. I don't even remember how. Do you remember how? I don't remember.
No, I knew that you didn't like me.
You're very unlikable.
You are very unlikable.
Look, I have resting bitch face, and I don't just give love to every. Like, if I know you, I'll do anything for you. If I don't know you, fuck off. Unless you're a Brosner, and then I love you.
I do have a question. What do you think Forrest would look like as like a South Park rendition? I mean, would it just be a giant head with two little feet as stick, like walking?
That's mean. No, you're a mean guy.
They would make fun of his cheeks for sure.
Yeah, they have to.
Chipmunk.
Yeah.
It'd be great.
Yeah, it's very chipmunk-esque.
Brosner's way in.
He'd look like a squirrel.
Send us Forrest on South
like
Park
a squirrel.
Art.
All right, so let's attempt to not derail so much. Anybody else got anything? I've got one or two more things that came across my desk earlier today. Anything from you guys that you found interesting?
I got into something that's actually not on the show doc, but I started going down this wormhole about the reintroduction of wolves into Yellowstone.
Okay. Yep. Familiar with the story.
Fucking fascinating, man. Like,
did you watch the video about how it? Change the habitat, et cetera.
No, you might know more than I do. I just started getting into it because I was looking at it for this show thing. And just the fact that we'd essentially eradicated wolves from the Yellowstone area because they're interfering with ranching activity, reintroduced them, and they're thriving. Like, they went right back to, like, they're thriving. I saw a video with some interaction between a group of wolves and a bear, a Yellowstone grizzly. And it's funny, the grizzly kind of comes down this hill and just looks up and sees that there's a bunch of wolves in this field. And it's like, you can just see the bear's like, what the fuck is this? Because, this bear's lived its whole life without wolves probably. And now all of a sudden he's like, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. It's like, I think maybe Forrest, I might be wrong, but it seems like a really good example of like humans doing something right when it comes to rectifying a situation in wildlife. Maybe
no, 100% accurate. You know, it's really fascinating what happened with wolves in Yellowstone. So there was a big fight, you know, this big legislative fight to not bring the wolves back into Yellowstone. People were up in arms about it. Ranchers in the surrounding area were terrified. They thought it was going to kill all their livestock. Anyway, after a long battle, they eventually did pass the bill to say they could reintroduce wolves into Yellowstone. So at first, what did we see? We just saw a few wolves running around, right? But I think the most fascinating thing that came out of this was upon the reintroduction of wolves in Yellowstone, it changed the course of the rivers within Yellowstone National Park. Now, people were like, what the hell? Why are wolves changing rivers?
Yeah,
how does
that
this
happen?
Work?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what happened
crazy.
Was with the lack of wolves, the large ungulates like elk and moose, et cetera, were walking around and eating all the vegetation. And they were eating all the easy to get to vegetation, which was lining the riverbanks. Now, this was causing tons and tons of erosion and effectively destroying the riparian habitat. Now, when the wolves got introduced, they started to put the fear of God into all of these ungulates that had no longer had predators. Long story short, they knocked down the overpopulation of herbivores. And what that did is it allowed the rivers and streams to grow the necessary vegetation along their shorelines to actually effectively increase the health of the ecosystem, because the rivers and streams started meandering again and weren't affected by all of the erosion, which in turn was affecting the fish, the amphibians, everything else. So that little piece of the puzzle, just taking wolves out and putting them back in, changed the entire ecosystem. It redirected rivers. It changed streams. It changed riparian habitat. I mean, it was absolutely incredible what they found. It was something that no one could have predicted.
Dude,
they knew that it would drive down the populations of the grazers, of the herbivores. They had no idea that it was going to change the entire river ecology to make a healthier ecosystem.
Blake Iverson here says that a wolf was tracked recently down to around the Truckee area in California, and he wants to know how long until wolves may migrate further south, all the way to like Mammoth or whatever. I mean,
that's such a cool question, because Forrest and I worked on an episode where we looked for the Rocky Mountain gray wolf.
Yep.
And one of the things we talked about was when we were in pre-production on that episode was, do we consider looking for the California gray wolf?
Yep.
Or no.
Yep.
Or
the
one
California
of the ideas
wolf pack,
that,
yeah.
Yeah, that they could. There was a couple rumored wolf sightings near the Mammoth area and
right.
near the Tahoe area.
Right.
So we looked at that and we're like, no, we got to go to the Rockies. But that's a really cool question. I'm curious what you think about that.
It you know, if left to their own devices, it is only a matter of time, no doubt about it. I mean, wolves belong in the state of California. They were here long before humans. You know, they deserve to be here. We pushed them to the edge, and they are slowly moving south. I think it was 2018 that the first wolves moved into Northern California, coming down from Washington through Oregon. And, you know, now apparently they're all the way south down to Truckee. Now, Truckee is not, you know, extreme Northern California. It's really not. It's kind
it's
of like central Northern.
For people who don't know where Truckee is, that's basically like Tahoe. It's right next
yeah.
to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's 2 hours from the San Francisco. It's not like the far northern reaches. So they are slowly moving down through the Sierras, as they should be, avoiding human beings, as wolves tend to do. And I think if, you know, left to their own devices, of course there's roads and human impact to consider, but I think that, you know, inside of 15, 20 years, we should have wolves throughout the state of California where they belong, meaning, you know, not on the beach, not in Palm Desert, but like up in the Sierras and in the Redwoods, et cetera, et cetera.
What was the stat about how many miles a day a wolf will travel? Isn't it like 50 or something? Something crazy.
Up to 150. Yeah, they travel, I think, 30 miles a day on average, and
wow.
they can travel up to 150 in a day.
That's insane, dude. That is crazy.
Dude, if I do 150 miles in my car in a day, I'm like, I'm shot. I need a glass of wine.
I'm shot.
Yeah.
I need a cab.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lots of, yeah, that's good stuff. So you guys know that I'm a big fisherman, right? I love fishing.
Yeah.
I love fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the fish species that I love to target fly fishing is a fish called the bonefish. Now, bonefish are small species of shallow water fish. You usually target them by walking out on these flats like seagrass beds where the water is like 2 to 3 foot deep, and you see these schools of these beautiful fish. They get up to like 6-8 pounds cruising around. You stalk them and you throw a fly really lightly in front of them with a crab mimic, and they come and nail it and give you a good old fight. Then you catch them and release them. Now, as far as we have known in science, bonefish live exclusively on these flats, right? Yes, they'll travel across oceans. You know, there's even been bonefish that turn up in Hawaii relatively regularly. But overall, they live on these flats. That's what we know about bonefish. Well, just this week, Florida Atlantic University announced a discovery that bonefish, these shallow water fish, these incredible like fighting fish that live up on these flats that nobody's ever seen in, I'd say, deeper than 6 feet of water, actually travel off of the coastal waterways to depths of nearly 500 feet to spawn.
Oh, wow.
Now, what I found so interesting about this, like, okay, cool, we get it. Like, these shallow water flats fish head out to deep sea to spawn, and then they come back to the flats. That's really cool. It's unexpected for sure. But I think what was so interesting is the methodology in which they made this discovery. They used acoustic telemetry.
telemetry. Oh, there you go.
I know.
There you go.
Cheers.
Out of space. Zebras.
They used acoustic telemetry tags. Wow. To show in real time where the bonefish were, and to show that they were capable of handling these extreme depth pressures and reaching, you know, 300 feet in the first dive, meaning that they put on these little tags that would send a sound signal, and they're listening at the sound, and basically how the sound is recorded tells them the pressure at which the fish are living, and they chase these fish off of the 6 foot flats, and a second later they'd be in 300 feet. I mean, I think it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, dude, that's fucking cool as shit. And part of what I think is so cool about that is just the fact that humans, you know, it's easy to just assume that all humans dedicate resources towards making more money, making better cell phones, making smaller microchips. But like the fact that this technology has gone towards just something as simple as trying to preserve or understand more about an animal called the bonefish that isn't even like a fish that you eat much.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's not haddock. It's not cod.
Right.
It's called the bonefish. That's pretty fucking amazing. That's astounding. In fact, like where the fuck does this money come from to develop this device to track a bonefish?
I couldn't. Yeah. I mean, I could tell you because I've been involved in it, but yeah.
Wait, what? You have been in this device specifically?
No, idiot. In writing grants for things that the majority of people don't care about, in acquiring finances to do studies, I helped write a massive grant for a funding study to figure out whether or not fish how they respond to electrotherapy, which was quite something. Meaning, you zap some electricity in the water, and do fish like it, or do they swim away? And that was like a huge 3-year project.
So were you just stoned for 3 years and then you wanted to fuck around? What do you mean? Why would they stick around? They like it? Why would they like it?
No, because fish have, it's harder to, it's,
let me
it's
just
more
tell
complex
me the,
than that.
Tell me the conclusion. Did they like it or did they not like it? Which?
No, they were, when they were stimulated by electricity, they for the most part did not like it unless it was certain frequencies, in which case they liked
Next
it.
Next time, just give me the money and I'll tell you the conclusion factually.
Will is going to pull up a picture of the bonefish because at least 10 brosners are asking, can I see a picture of the fucking bonefish?
Will, Google boner fish because I'm sure you're spelling it wrong.
Are you drunk, Forrest? What a bomb. Pull down your pants and show them a bonefish.
That was funny. Come on.
The people want to see your boner fish, not blurred like it was on fucking Jungle Potato. What the fuck? I can't remember the name of the show. Survivor.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to pull my dick out on YouTube.
I'm really pissed at you, Peter.
Fuck off. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. Just keep your mouth shut.
No, the brosners want to know when there's rifts, and there's a current rift. Because a lot of brosners are now making comments about my mom on the YouTube Live. You son of a bitch.
Dude, I mentioned it. Well, ooh, look at that bone fit. That's pretty big. Bigger than I thought it would be.
I should have sent WT Willie a picture of me with a bonefish ahead of time. Oh, well.
Hey, why are they called bonefishes? Because it's all bones when you try to eat them or what?
Yep, exactly right. They're full of bones. You do not want to eat them. I believe you can like smoke them and scrape the bones out or something, but it's just like one of those things. It's way more work than it's worth.
Oh, look at these.
And now
there's
pictures.
That's not a bonefish,
Will.
That's you
holding a turtle. And an alligator.
Pat, come on. I mentioned her by the wrong name maybe twice, and then it's the brosners who are carrying it on. It's not me. I apologize. I never knew we'd be so big and have so many listeners and fans.
Well, look, my 76-year-old mother doesn't want to be the subject of a bunch of brosners.
Listen,
she just I
wants
agree.
To
peacefully live.
I have not mentioned her in
you have
in at least 20 episodes.
You mentioned her every episode.
It's not true. Matt McHugh is constantly texting me trying to get her number and her P.O. box address.
I just want to point out that Jenna Faber made the nicest comment of the night. One of the female Brosners. Patrick's mom is our mom too. Brosners are all family.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
We have the best peeps. Pat, we do. Yeah, Living the Dream 865 wants to know something important, though.
Yep.
What happened to Paul Watson? Because he was in legal trouble that made him go on to the boat to begin with, right? Or like he never came back.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. Sorry.
He got kicked out of Greenpeace, right? He was one of the founding members of Greenpeace. Got kicked out because he was very aggressive. And look, Paul is – I like Paul a lot because he's singularly focused. When you talk to him, there's nothing else there. You can't talk to – you can't be like, hey, Paul, how you doing? Did you have a drink tonight? He's got one thing that he thinks about, and it's literally preserving ocean life.
Right.
And that's cool, and I like talking to people that have one focus like that. But he's – you know, he breaks the law all the time. At a certain point, I lost contact with Paul. He was in hiding in Canada because he was going to be arrested if he set foot in the U.S. I don't know where the fuck he is right now, to be honest. I don't think he's captaining any of the ships.
Right.
Peter Hammerstead got in some trouble too.
Oh, really?
He got in some trouble. He did some illegal stuff. Mm. But like the stuff they do is fucking rad, dude.
Right.
Yeah, right.
You know, like we did a thing together where it was a special, went to Libya. And went into the Mediterranean, and they were cutting open bluefin nets and freeing schools of bluefin. And the EU issued an arrest warrant for Paul Watson because his ships cut open bluefin nets, even though in these bluefin nets documented on camera, they were well above the limit of what they were allowed to catch. They were allowed to catch 60 each. They had fucking nets that had 200, 300 bluefin tuna inside. They cut them open and freed them. And still the EU issued arrest warrants for Paul Watson. So like, I think he's a fucking, I don't know, man, someone who dedicates their life to doing something that cool. Whatever. Like if he's having orgies on the boat,
wait,
let him fucking have orgies on the boat.
Boy,
man.
That was
like,
out of left field. Is that what's happening?
I mean, there's some of that, but for him, dude.
Wow, you heard it here first. Exclusive co-executive producer of
so
Whale Wars.
Look at the picture that WT Willie pulled up, Paul Watson. Now, just take that in for 1 second. Now, you know how when you see like a big, hefty gal with her pug, you're like, I get it. It looks like she looks like her dog, you know, or you see you see Sarah Jessica Parker next to a horse and you're like, oh, she rides. I get it. You know what I mean? People start to look like their pets or their obsession. Paul Watson looks like a marine mammal. Like, look at him. Tell me he doesn't look like some kind of sea creature.
He does.
He does.
He does.
He's got like a very merman. Like if that lower half of that body had a tail.
Yeah, it's merman.
Yeah, I would totally be like, I get it. You know, he's part whale. He's part merman. Like I see it. I see it right now. I don't even have to see the lower half to know he's got fins.
He's got fucking great hair. Look at his hair, man. I hope I have hair that good when I'm that age, man. Even if I have to be a
merman.
James O'Hara just summed it up in 5 words. He looks like a dugong. He does. He looks just like a dugong. Like it's insane.
Hey, Forrest, I want to get your opinion on this. So, my wonderful mother, who shall not be named again on this podcast, lives in South Carolina.
Okay.
In the neighboring town, about 30 minutes from where they live, someone was arrested. A guy was arrested because he had a hyena living in his backyard.
Way. What?
Wow.
Yeah. An adult.
An adult
not
hyena?
A baby, not a pup.
In what state was this?
South Carolina. It's warm. It's wet. It rains a lot there. It's a weird climate, probably not similar to the African Sahara. But he had a pet hyena domestic. Well, it wasn't domesticated. But what's your thoughts on that? Can you domesticate a hyena? Should we? Should we get
man.
Some?
WT Willie, if you can pull up my buddy Dean Schneider's Instagram page, I'll show you some stuff with hyenas that's going to blow your mind. But should you have a hyena as a pet is, I think, what this comes down to.
Yep.
No, you should not. You absolutely should not have a hyena as a pet. Now, there's a lot of science has come out on hyena intelligence and compassion over the last 10 years. Literally, since I left Africa 15 years ago, the mentality on hyenas has completely changed. They used to be like, they're cunning, they're sly, they're kind of evil, like they'll take any opportunity to bite. And I'll tell a story in a minute where I firsthand experienced that.
Nice.
But in today's world, like over the last 10, 15 years, we've really started to come to the understanding that there's a lot of compassion. So this is my buddy Dean.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I just got off the phone with him before this podcast, believe it or not. And he has these hand-raised rescue hyenas in South Africa. And I mean, they love him and vice versa.
Wow.
Now, personally, if one of us walked in and tried to do this with this hyena, he would rip your face off. Zero question.
Look at that thing. Yeah. Man. Look at those teeth. Holy shit.
Dude, this thing, I mean, the way that they're interacting with him as if it's a fucking, like a dog.
It looks like a dog, man.
Right.
Yeah.
It's wild, man. Really.
And he's got a lot of this stuff. But so when I was a kid, our neighbors had a game farm, right? The direct farm right next to ours called Bally Vaughan Game Preserve. And they had all kinds of different stuff. Now, they had a couple hyenas at one point, spotted hyenas. And I went over there one day, and that's the same place that I got hit by the lion. I think Patrick knows that story and yada, yada, yada. I went over there one day and there was this hyena, and I would play like tug of war with him through the fence, right? I'd stick the stick through the fence. He'd grab it. He'd play tug of war. It was kind of friendly, you know, but I was still nervous of him because it was a hyena after all.
Right. Yeah.
So one day I played tug of war with this hyena for 5-10 minutes, whatever.
Well, sorry. And with what? With what?
With a stick, just with a stick through the fence.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, all of a sudden this hyena becomes completely disinterested, loses all interest. I'm like, I don't know, 9-10 years old. So I'm like, you know, play with me. Yeah. I'm little. Like, we used to go over there and see all the animals. And I'm like, play with me, hyena. Like, what's the matter with you? As a kid does, right? So I get, you know, the stick was maybe 3 feet long. So I get right up against the fence where I can like kind of shove the stick, you know, further in to try and entice him to grab the stick and play the tug of war game.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do this 3 or 4 times and the hyena's kind of sitting around totally disinterested. And then finally, I'm trying to get his attention so much that I start to actually stick my hand through the fence to get, you know, to like get him with the stick.
Smart.
And he's still like, you know, he's all nonchalant. He's just like looking away. He's totally, totally disinterested in what I'm doing. And the second that I stuck my hand through the fence, he snapped on and lunged at my arm to take off my hand with the quickest amount of speed I have ever seen an animal like that move. Now, I barely got my hand out. I literally felt the breath on my hand at the speed at which I pulled my hand back. It was that close. But I don't like to anthropomorphize animals. I don't like to give them human characteristics. But to me, and this is something about hyenas, like to answer Patrick's question, this animal, so smart, so cunning, it was like, oh, here's this little thing that's like prey, right? I can't get to it right now. Right. And I sincerely believe this. I can't get to it right now. There's this barrier between us. Right. So I'm going to entice him. So this hyena like humored me by playing tug of war, stick with me for a while, and then acted disinterested so that I would get and moved away from the fence so that I would get closer and closer until I stuck my hand through.
Mm-hmm.
That, at that time, the hyena went for me, and it, literally the entire mood of the animal changed. And that is like that's my
crazy
experience with hyenas. They are that cunning and that clever.
Noel Ebert says, I mean, you offered him a meat tug of war stick, mate.
I mean, I did. Yeah, I did. And I think it was awesome.
You're insane, dude. And you were like 10. Listen to me. Like any normal person who has.
I'm just telling you my experience. You know, there's a guy on here. There's a guy commenting named Dr. Hyena. Dr. Hyena.
He's here every week,
you
man.
You seem like a reliable doctor.
By the way, Dr. Hyena has a dope Instagram page.
He's here every fucking week, man, on the premieres when we drop the podcast.
Dr. Hyena is great.
I dig that. Dr. Hyena, please weigh in the comments. Like, this is my experience. I was young, so maybe I'm not remembering it exactly right, but I'm anthropomorphizing this animal in the sense of it played a trick on me to attempt to grab some fresh food. And I really, really believe that.
Like, you're not a fucking dum-dum. So I think that when we look at animals and anthropomorphize or say attribute certain behaviors to being more human behaviors, That's not really saying it was a human behavior. It's just saying it was a clever fucking animal.
Sure.
Right. It was a really clever animal that has to exist in it normally in the wild in a situation where they're competing with lions routinely.
Right. Yep. It's almost 100%. A bit egotistical to be like, yeah, like anytime an animal does something smart, you're calling it's a human behavior. It's like, there's a lot of animals that are just pretty fucking, you know, ingenuous or whatever the fuck. I'm hammered. I don't know.
Yeah, you almost got it, but you weren't close. That
but
close,
guys, but on a side note, close, lots of brosners are pointing out the fact that we have just hit triple digits on the live viewers for the first time 96. During this episode. 100.
Mine says 96.
Shut the fuck up. It was a second
now
ago.
It says 95. People are leaving as you speak.
God, you really know how to fucking kill a buzz, you son of a bitch. But not
well,
past.
Real quick on the hyena front.
Yeah.
Real quick. This is important.
Real quick.
One hyena. Three pit bulls. Go. Who wins?
Go, Ritep. You've got to go first because you're an idiot.
Okay. I want one question. I'm going to ask one question. How much does a hyena weigh, Forrest?
Which species, sir?
The one that will be fighting these three fucking pit bulls, obviously.
I have to look this up. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing.
I'm right there.
All right, what do we got?
90 to 170 pounds.
Okay.
I had to look it up. I was going to guess 100 pounds, but 170 is a lot of pounds.
170 is huge.
Wait, are we saying 170 or 100?
Let's go 140 right now.
I'm going to say if it was 100, I'd say that the pit bulls got it. 140, the hyenas got it.
Yeah, I think three pit bulls win.
You think so?
I think three pit bulls win. I do. Yeah. Look, they're big. They're solid, meaty dogs. Yeah, 3-on-1, right? I mean, if us three took on Mike Tyson, we'd kick his ass, right? You know, 1-on-1, he'd kill us. But
bro, if us one took on Mike Tyson, we'd smash.
Well, okay, current Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
But what if us three took on Conor McGregor? How do you think we'd fare?
We'd destroy him. Are you kidding me? He's like 5'1".
It'd be an egregious smash, dude. We would utterly dominate that cunt.
Listen.
Yeah, 1-on-1, hyena wins. 3-on-1, pit bulls win.
By the way, if you're listening, Connor, and I think you probably are.
He is. He's a fan.
We would like to challenge you to a 3-on-1 fight. We will do it for no money.
I am game for that, 100%.
Yeah, please, everybody, reach out to Conor McGregor. Let him know. The guys of the Wild Times would care to fight him 3-on-1 only.
By the way, this hinges 100% on getting Ritep drunk and being like,
nope,
you go in, take all the damage.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we'll kind of come in from the outside.
Hit him with a chalupa, Ritep. Get in there.
Listen, I'm eating the chalupa, first of all. Second of all, me going in there first and us not attacking all at the same time is the stupidest fucking idea that you've ever
No,
uttered.
I think it's a good call because when Connor gets all worked up, it is. Because when Connor gets all worked up, he's beating the crap out of the guy on the ground, and that's you.
Yeah,
and then Patrick and I just fly in with knees, just nothing but knees. See what happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, one last thing on hyenas, man. I just pulled up this picture of a hyena's teeth. They are banana.
They're insane. Yeah.
And when I say banana, they're the size of bananas. They're so sharp. And to think that this hyena has a bite force, even though it's not known for its bite force, that's equivalent to a very strong dog's bite force, like a German Shepherd. Holy fuck.
Yeah.
This is the scariest animal in the world, man.
Yeah.
Hyenas are terrifying.
Yeah, they're gnarly.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to. All right,
I'm going to do something. It's going to rattle some feathers here. This is directed entirely at you, Papa P. All right. You made it very clear on the last pod that you never, ever, ever, ever wanted to do the Darwin Awards again. Well, guess what? We're going to do them live. I reached out to WT Willie. I said, Willie, get him up. We're doing them on the live tonight. We got three new Darwin Awards for you to freak out about. And I want the Brosners to weigh in. And let's see if we can figure out who's going to win the Darwin Awards tonight.
Fuck yeah.
WT Willie, on you, sir.
Here we go.
Did we lose Patrick? What just happened?
No, he's here. I think he's just egregious in shock, maybe. Let me see.
No, I'm here.
God, he's
just
wasted.
Really upset.
He's hammered. He's hammed.
All right, let's see.
No, I just hate this. People getting hurt.
He hates it.
Let's
see what this first one's all about. Let's go.
It's to be the alligator. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put this suit on, and I'm going to actually swim a pond. We've got about an 11-foot alligator laying on the other side of this pond. I'm going to see if I can completely swim up to that alligator.
They're all in Florida. Every one of them are in Florida.
This, I love the preparation going into this Darwin Award because this is.
How's his shoulder knife? Sorry.
No, I'm just saying this is a very well planned out stupid thing to do.
I would do this, to be fair.
Yeah,
Patrick's thinking of me doing this.
You've done similar.
I've seen you. Well, last time we did Darwin Awards, a lot of people were sending me messages saying, well, Forrest is definitely going to be on the Darwin Awards eventually.
No one said that.
I swear to God.
I'm bored to catch an alligator.
All right, let's see what happens here. Well, how long is this video? Is this 40 minutes?
So the guy, for those who are listening just on iTunes.
Skip forward. Here we go.
There's a guy who's putting on an alligator suit on his back. He's strapped on a costume, including a helmet that looks like an alligator head. And now he's floating in water.
How is he breathing?
What is he doing? It doesn't look like an alligator.
It looks like a scarecrow. Look at him. It looks like such an idiot.
No, they're vulnerable.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
He's in the water. So if I can get
this. Oh, my God. The suspense is killing me.
Look at where is he? Look at the spectators.
Oh, my God. They're spectators.
Where is he located?
Oh, my God.
This guy's a fucking asshole.
He really is. He's a dickhead.
They're all in Florida. Every Darwin Award takes place in the state of Florida. Oh, boy, that's a big male gator. He's making a mistake. Oh,
what is he? Oh, my God.
I got 5 feet.
All right. I'm guessing that's the end. Nothing too.
Now we're going to see if we can get closer to a group of alligators.
No, he's going to go closer. He's going closer.
Of course.
You gotta go.
I hope this ends the way I'm expecting. If you're listening.
Oh my God. So he's army crawling on the grass with.
Oh, man. If you're listening
God, he's
to
touch
this.
The tail.
If you're listening to this on iTunes and not watching the live, you can come check it out on YouTube. He is this guy is in an alligator costume. He's army crawling up to an alligator at what appears to be an alligator farm. Now he's funneling its tail. Now here's the thing. Even if the gator did believe he was an alligator, it wouldn't appreciate what he's doing.
Dude, he's not proving anything. Probably a 7 foot gator, 6-7 foot.
Yep, something like that.
As a person, so you can see, you're not going to walk up on that alligator.
Please come get him.
Does it work?
Come get him.
No, it's still in the primitive stages. I think we got a winner.
A winner? What did he win? Is he calling himself the winner of the Darwin Award?
Let's see. What else do we have, Willie?
That guy's an asshole, but he didn't get hurt enough for me.
I think Willie has.
I want him hurt.
Willie has gone less NSFW because Pat was so repulsed in the last one. So we don't.
No, now I feel bad. Like I fucked up this segment.
You're good.
We just don't have as much gore this time. No testicles getting bit by an alligator.
I think what Owen Roberts said makes a lot of sense. He wins the Darwin Award. He evolved right in front of our eyes. He did. He became an alligator. Patrick's doing his regular once per episode. I have to go pee. He does have the bladder of a prepubescent teenage girl. It's a treat.
Yeah.
To deal with on podcasts.
Yep. He has the bladder the size of a small acorn, not even a large one. Very small.
All right, Will, let it rip. We don't need to wait for him. Let's go ahead.
He's doing it intentionally. He doesn't want to watch. He's scared.
He doesn't. Yeah, he hates this. Which, you know, I wanted to see him cringe. All right. So for those listening at home, I see a North American bison. It's down in the grass. Somebody with a vertical iPhone video is approaching it. He's way too close already. I know exactly how this is going to end.
Oh, my God. He's about 5 feet away now.
He's going to get, he's about to get rammed.
This is an enormous animal.
Can I ride you?
What is this guy thinking?
Can I ride you?
Oh, my God. Can I pet you?
What are you doing? So this guy has no amygdala, that's for sure. This is
mad
bananas.
Respect.
You're not very friendly, are you?
Jesus.
All right. Will really toned it down this week. Will, let's see what the third one's all about. Unless there's something more here.
But, I mean, between those two, it is tough to pick between
Bison guy. Bison guy, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, gators aren't that tough. I mean, I thought one was going to nab him, but gators are kind of cowards. Bison are not.
No.
Let's see what's going on here. Will, there better be some carnage in this, or this segment is dead.
Oh, I really know the Brosters love it.
I want to wait for Patrick to come back so much to show him this. It's not necessarily okay. That is gross.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get
He's
a few.
Returning.
So there's a lot of Brosters weighing in right here. They are talking. So Brosters, who do you think out of just the two wins the Darwin Award this week? The Bison guy or the Alligator guy? Forrest made his pick. Let's see. We're all waiting on Pat. Dead air. Sorry.
No, it's not. I'm reading the Brosner comments. There's some good stuff. Everybody's agreeing with me, Bison guy. All right, Patrick. Okay. You missed a guy trying to pet a wild bison. Nothing bad happened. Third and final pick. Let's go, Willie.
Will watered it down, didn't he?
No, it's all good. Here we go. Third and final.
I don't think so.
All right,
let's see. Well, he's very excited for you to see this, Patrick.
Oh, no. Is that a rat?
That's a rat.
Oh, my God.
Get out of her mouth. His mouth? Its mouth? They's mouth? Get out. Just get out.
That's a they. Oh, that rat's going to bite that person's tongue, man.
Ew, what are they
what
doing?
What is she doing? What is she doing?
But just
gross.
Why? Look at that nose, that nostril. It's freaking me out.
Ugh. That person's going to get fucking COVID.
I don't care for this. Also,
the plague.
Get some fresh white
Rats
strips
carry
in your
black
life.
Plague.
Yeah, really.
Yuck. Patrick, how much did you enjoy that?
Okay, let me say this. Don't put a rat in your mouth, period. Especially don't put a rat in your mouth if your teeth are the color of Skeletor's skin. It's just a bad idea. Like, you... Fuck.
Yeah, it's
if
not
that,
great.
If rat that mouth? Was... If that was Margot Robbie and you watched her do that and then she turned to you and said, kiss me now, would you make out with her? I mean, it's Margot Robbie we're talking about.
Yeah, there's no question. I would make out with her instantly and with vigor.
Yeah, it wouldn't matter literally what she put in her mouth ahead
Dude,
of it.
Dude, Forrest, you're so basic when it comes to your taste. Like, I knew when we first talked about it and you were like, yeah, my number one's Margot Robbie. I was like, of course it is. Like, you're so simple.
She's the hottest girl in the world.
She just is a blonde woman.
Will, can you pull up a picture of Margot Robbie so we can see what Forrest's exact type is? Pat would vigorously.
I like an exotic lady. I want to see
we've had
Brazilian.
This argument at least 20 times. Patrick, who's your number one celebrity crush?
For a long time, man, it was Mila Kunis. Yep. She just comes off a little bitchy now.
What?
God, I would say probably the woman I'm planning on stalking at some point.
Jesus. Smart. So whatever happens, it's on tape.
Well, I have a guy on my fantasy football team that's really fucked me this year. Okay. And so I ended up following his wife on Instagram. So I think she's my number one.
Okay.
Matt McHugh
right.
thinks
that's on celebrity.
Yeah.
Ritep, who is your celebrity crush?
Well, Matt McHugh thinks that it's Ariana Grande, but no. Definitely not. Well, I mean, she has that Yuck. Flavor that you're into, Pat, but not my
no
cup
good.
Of tea.
Grande's no, gross.
No I'm into Rashida Jones from The Office era. She's mine.
Rashida Jones. Oh, whoa, the brunette that dated Jim in the other office for a bit? Is that Rashida Jones?
What do you like about her? Just that she's so plain and sort of normal and not
That's
that great looking?
Obtainable?
Yeah, you could get her.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
you could probably match with her on
what
Tinder.
What do you like about
someone?
Mila Kunis, dude? She's literally not even good looking.
No, she's super hot. Come on.
Bro, I won't.
She looks like she would stab you in your sleep, and I like that.
That's
okay,
your go-to
well, that's
there,
a fair assessment. Rashida Jones is cute, and she's...
I don't get it.
I don't fucking care if you get it.
I don't get it. Margot Robbie for the win. So, all right, change topic here. We're getting really derailed. Patrick, Elliot Margot Miller Robbie's asked, doing. What are some of the other big debates you and Pat have while filming episodes? I feel like you and I argue, like... Friendly argue, but argue about so much stuff on shoot.
Oh, God, I could only imagine.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the times the arguments that Forrest and I have had, truthfully, are ultimately just completely fueled by testosterone. They're almost over 100%. Nothing.
That's like all of your arguments are about, Pat.
It's true.
Yeah, you too, bro. Oh my God. Shut the fuck up. We get Jesus, you and I have been in horrible arguments.
You kicked me out of your house one time. Yeah. Relax. Yeah. Calm down.
Yeah, I did kick you out of my house. Also, the Brosters don't come here to see us be subdued. They want to see us be angry.
Jesus.
No, but I would say Forrest and I have been in probably, what would you say, five arguments?
Five maybe. Good ones, I'd say. Yeah.
And none of them were about anything important. It wasn't like,
nope,
we should do this, we should do this. Because ultimately, that never really happens because you're driving the thing and then I'm just trying to figure out, okay, we can do that. We, you know, here's a way to do it. But we've been in quite a few arguments where just Forrest will do something and I'll be like, no, that was garbage. Dumb. And then he'll just be like, cut. And then he'll just like walk up and get in my face and be like, yo, like, really? Really, bro?
You make it sound so much worse than it is, than it really is.
No,
is there ever an argument over like scientific things when you're on adventures? No,
never once.
Forrest is always just right immediately.
Yeah, I defer to the person who actually know. You know, everything I know is either through Forrest or because I've read about it. Right, I don't actually have a background. I haven't spent my entire life in the field. And as much as I think Forrest is a silly fucker who's quite a bit of a douchebag.
Wow.
No, it's accurate.
It's the only thing he thinks about and does.
Right.
So I'm just like, I'm never going to be like, I'm right about this thing, like biologically or scientifically.
Let me ask you this. Has there ever been a time when you've been out on an adventure together, Pat, where you thought something scientifically, whatever it was about something, you thought something was a certain way or something was going to be, you know, and then you get out there and you're like, okay, let's do it this way or whatever. And then Forrest is like, no, that's not how it works.
Honestly, no. And that happens all the time making TV shows that, you know, you sort of have spent more time researching it than the person who's on camera saying it. Mm-hmm. But just the way that we've set up Extinct or Alive and the Shark Week shoots, it's just Forrest is in control of everything that has to do with finding the animals, looking at the animals, filming the animals. And so it's just never been set up in a way where I had a strong opinion. It's like,
sure. Not even, you know, the meat tree.
The meat tree was mutual. Yeah, that was a brilliant collaborative effort. I would say that was 60-40, Patrick, by the way. If not 70-30. Like he just really led the reins because he made it as a joke. And I was like, no, that's brilliant.
So,
and he was like, no, it's not.
Interesting,
like, yes, it's
so
actually brilliant.
Pat had like a silly ass idea. For those who don't know, the meat tree, you guys essentially, when you were in, where were you guys?
Zanzibar.
Looking for the
leopard. Which Zanzibar, if you could point out Zanzibar on a map, Retep, I'd give you $100.
I can't. And you guys basically went to the store and got a bunch of meat, threw it at a tree. You hung meat all over trees. And this was Pat's idea.
Well, one tree. Well, what happened was this. We knew we had a long time in Zanzibar because we felt like, well, I guess I would say Forrest felt like this was actually an animal where maybe it could be there. Because once we got into the jungle, there was nobody there.
Right.
There's nobody there.
Nobody in the
right.
jungle.
There weren't tourists. There was no, like, it's a very small little jungle, this protected pocket within this island of Zanzibar, which is heavily populated.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we went in not thinking it was a great chance and then got there and we're like, holy shit, like, there's fucking no one in this place. Like, we hiked for a couple hours each day and we'd be like, we're in pockets where there's no trash, there's no sign of humans. And so I just said to Forrest, we were drinking some beers, and I said, dude, tomorrow night supposed to be like this like wind storm's gonna come in. Like, what if we just hung meat high up in a tree? And then Forrest was like, well, maybe we just build a whole meat tree.
That's right.
And then we started listening to music and just dancing around singing the words meat tree.
Yeah. And pretty much. It was like 3 in the morning and now, people seem to think that we're always hammered. We were not always hammered. We worked very hard, but we were occasionally hammered. And this was a night where Patrick was like, hey, why don't you like come by, bring a beer or whatever, and we'll sit down and think of like what we're going to do tomorrow. And I remember the one thing that I remember that Patrick didn't mention is he's like, oh, you know, Lemley, his cat, he's like, if you hang anything from a branch or a tree, he just goes nuts for it. And I'm like, huh. And then 5 minutes later, he goes, oh, what if we just like put some meat in a tree? And I'm like, huh. And I'm like, Patrick, you're brilliant. You just created a meat tree.
I love that. Like, scientifically, though, first of all, it worked at the end of the day, and you literally fucking got what you were looking for from this crazy ass idea. And second, like, you know, you weren't such like a, like Forrest, you weren't like, no, that'll never, that's stupid. Like, I know what I'm talking about. That would never work. It sounds almost actually like a Forrest idea, but it was really a Pat idea.
Well, dude, here's the thing, right? And Patrick's going to support me on this, because for all the shit that we argue, which is not that much, Patrick and I are obviously, he's one of my best friends in the world after all the shit we've been through together. And like scientists, and Patrick knows this from shoots. That's why I mentioned all this. Scientists are the most closed-minded bunch of assholes on earth, right? I have to collaborate and work with them constantly. If it's not their idea, it's a bad idea. No, this is the truth, man. If it's not their idea, it's a bad idea. Like, scientists, for the most part, are closed-minded jerks. And I know this because I've been in academia long enough to go to symposiums and hear them, you know, quietly, snarkily talking about other scientists' ideas of what a bad idea it is because they didn't fucking think of it. Like, I've never had that mentality. Like, my entire mentality is to be collaborative. It's like, if you have an idea, like, take Patrick's meat tree. Let's say Patrick came up with the idea 100% and pitched it to me. Why not fucking try it? Like, it can't hurt anything. You know what I mean? Why discredit it and be like, that's ridiculous. Like, that's not, that's, there's been no published papers on meat trees being effective for targeting leopards, sir. Like,
right,
that's fucking,
right.
Like, what, like, who fucking knows? Like, sure, throw some meat in a tree. Like, what's the worst that can happen? Something else eats it. You know what I mean? And that's kind of always been my mentality, is like trying to be rigorous and take this approach of proven methodology. Well, nobody else has fucking proven extinct animals are still out there, right? So we might as well throw the fucking darts at the wall and see what sticks. And I think that's what happened with the meat tree, and has happened a couple different times that has been successful, and it's been great.
Yeah. You're getting a lot of feedback here. Daniel Cool, Jason Abbs.
I was going to say, people want, literally, like, at least 15 people have said they want meat tree shirts.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're going to get meat tree merch going. But a lot of people are talking about how they've had to deal with, like, research professors and, you know, tutors and shit. And they're talking about how James O'Hara says Graham Hancock says the same thing about scientists. So it seems 100%. To be a pretty, like, common.
It's rough.
Yeah, common Dude, it's, thing
it's,
out there.
It's, un- it's a real thing, undeniable, man. And, like, I know a lot of our listeners are either, like, people younger than us, especially me and you, Ritep. that are in academia and getting their PhDs. You know, we have a very smart audience on the show.
We do.
Yes. True.
But fuck, man, like, the people that I really like and respect that I've come across in the field of archaeology, anthropology, fucking biology, all that shit, fucking hate academia, man. Like,
yeah, there's
it is,
a lot of that.
It is brutal. Like, you just, it is a system that is set up to make profit, undeniably. You write textbooks, you sell the textbooks, you revise the textbooks every fucking year, right? Mm-hmm. You revise them and sell new versions and change the page numbers so that the kids have to buy a new $200 textbook in the science field every single fucking year, man. And it's just set up so that science doesn't move forward, and it's really fucked up, man. And there's clearly a new guard, like people like Forrest or like Courtney Borgerson, who we've worked with, who's an anthropologist slash biologist.
She's the best.
She's amazing. And they will just tell you, like, she's a Harvard, you know, Courtney's Harvard fucking PhD, and she'll tell you, like, academia sucks.
Yeah,
right. Like,
straight up.
They will keep your shit down, even if it's true, because it can interfere with their books.
It sounds like it's pretty similar to how a lot of people think in the professional world. I had a lot of people when I was an assistant editor on TV shows and shit who would, once I got close to them, they'd talk about how they would intentionally do things to basically keep their job and not let other people get ahead. And, like, talk about how it was a thing for them. And I mean, you know,
I've never understood that mentality. Like,
it's selfish.
Support other people and promote other people. Don't fucking knock them down or bring them down or slow them down. It just makes no sense to me. Speaking of which, I just saw Jenna Favor's comment. Jenna, you're insane, by the way, in the best way possible. Meat Tree was my nickname in high school. Good for you.
Oh, man. It's so good. That's fantastic. Man. We got a question. We got a question from Ben Stredwick. He said, this is a good one. Have you guys ever found an animal right away and had to fill the rest of the episode on Extinct or Alive? Did you guys ever find anything right away and then you had to like make it something, or is it
the
always
closest a- was no, the closest was the tortoise, right? Because that was like 4 days in, and then we didn't lie about anything. We didn't like go backfill the episode. What we did is go back and look for more signs, and were unsuccessful, and then just told the story of transporting it to the facility and unloading it. But
well, four days
is pretty
still
short fucking time. Well, yeah, I mean, usually we're out there for a couple of weeks, 10 days, whatever. Yeah.
Well,
so
yeah,
4 days is pretty quick.
Even 4 days of footage, though, is still probably a lot of footage, right? Or like a lot of just bullshit that you're doing out there. I mean, four full days, that's like fucking 50 hours of shit.
It is, but you have to realize that 4 days of what I'm doing is 4 days of like hiking, right?
Right.
And looking under bushes, which does not fill an hour of television. So there was kind of more. Right, Patrick, can you think of anything else where we had to kind of like make up time? Not really, because that was the closest. And we didn't make up time. We found the animal, you know, two thirds of the way through the show, and then spent the other third showing it getting home.
Well, that was also an interesting episode because we did go back for several days and look for the mate, right? So we went and searched for a male to potentially inseminate, found scat. Found definite, undeniable scientific evidence of another tortoise, but didn't find the animal. And none of that ended up making the show just because of, you know, TV shows or TV shows, and you have to cut them down to a certain length. But so that was sort of, it was actually interesting. That was a little bit misleading, wasn't it, for us, that like we never showed that part of it.
It was, yeah. We never showed that we spent two additional full days scouting for another animal.
Three.
Shit.
Because, you know, like, and that's the thing that people, I guess, don't understand when you make TV. If we had found the second animal, I think we would have shown all of that, right?
Of
we would have shown, oh my God, like we went back out and we did all this. But we spent three more days looking for the animal, a second animal, and then went, wait a minute, like we have to get Fern to the facility. Like we can't just keep doing this, you know, like. Let's make a decision here. And the executive decision, aka Patrick's decision, because he's the executive, was to move. I mean, it was all of our decision, but was to move on and take Fern to the center. And so, you know, all that, those 3 days of footage of looking for another animal just end up hitting the cutting room floor, so to speak, because there's nothing to show.
And you know what's funny is that those 3 days were brutal.
Yeah, they sucked.
I mean, like 115 degrees.
God.
Very little tree cover or anything on that island. So, and at that point, we had the entire crew, right? So everybody was out there just fanning out, had a grid, and were just searching. And it was just, you know, black rock reflecting the sun back up into your face. So 115 felt like 130.
Yeah.
And it was just three just really, really brutal days where like you're the only thing managing your own body temperature. Like where just you just have to once an hour just lay down under a bush. and we did that for three entire days.
Oh my God.
And all the Forrest, talk about the fucking beach entries to get onto the island every single day.
And I think that you know,
gnarly,
more things that you never really understand from watching the show is like we had, you know, there's like 6 foot swells. There's this jagged volcanic rock that I would most closely associate to glass shards. Like I couldn't even know how else. Like it crumbles beneath your feet in these spiky, rigid shards. That's all weathered from the volcano. I mean, it's brutal, man.
Yeah.
And to beach to land, we have to run the dinghy up against these rocks because there's no like nice beach or you know, soft sand or anything like that to bring the dinghy in with these 5 foot waves and then jump from the pontoon of the dinghy of the inflatable boat onto these rocks and then try and scramble up in between sets of waves. So you're literally just like taking this leap of faith towards the rocks, landing on the rocks and then scrambling up like hands and feet and shins and everything just cut to shit.
Oh my God.
And those are the things that just never make TV. You know, it's like, the leeches in Borneo, man. I think I pulled 250 leeches off myself over the course of like 4 or 5 days. You know, it never makes a show. It's like, I get it. You got leeches, you know, but did you find the animal? And I think people, that's one of the things that I think people like about this podcast, right? Is we talk about that shit that you don't get to see because each episode of TV, and you guys both know this from making TV, is the culmination of like years of work, months of preparation, you know, weeks in the field crammed into 40 minutes. So you can't show things like Patrick and I pranking each other or drinking and coming up with meat trees or leeches on our socks or beach launches. Like there's not enough time to show all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, this is, it's what I love about the podcast fucking medium, man. You can really get into shit. Guys, Jason Abbs asked, Forrest, if you were forced to film with another wildlife show or personality, what would you pick? That's kind of a tough question. I mean, but do you have any idea what you would pick to do? Like, you know,
if I was forced, I mean, yeah, I mean, I'd love to go film with like Steve Irwin if he was still around, right? Like he was a madman. He was nuts.
Yeah.
He wasn't a biologist. Like his understanding of wildlife was purely observational. It wasn't academic at all. Like I'd love to go out with Steve Irwin and be like, hey, Steve, do you know that that jellyfish actually is, you know, a culmination of thousands and thousands of different organisms to make one living body? And he'd be like, oh my God, that's insane. I didn't know that. I just thought it stung, mate.
Yeah.
You know, like I think it'd be dope to do something like that.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
But you know, there's no shortage. You know, I'm good buddies with Coyote Peterson. Like we make fun of him all the time on here because he's a friend of mine. You know, I think him and I are planning on shooting something in October. There's plenty of people I'd like to work with. Anybody, any of our brosters, if you're into wildlife, I want to work with you. Like it's as simple as that. If you can share the passion that I have for these things, I'd love to be involved.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, fuck, we have tons of people who are constantly asking about how you got into it. You know, we found out last week that you were shit in college and didn't do any work and somehow you made it through. Sorry, just in
that.
The first part when you were, I'm just kidding, but you were partying in your first semester and barely made it through.
All right. So Daniel wants to know about the MOA. So the MOA, for those that don't know, Willie, can you bring up a picture, an ancient picture of a MOA next to a human? If you can search for that. MOA was, a species of elephant bird. Think ostrich, but much, much larger. And Daniel wants to know, what do I think of the MOA? Do I think it could still be there? Sadly, Daniel, I do not. I do not think that the MOAs are still around. And I'll explain why. Much like the ostriches, they are flightless, right? Which makes them an easy target for hunters. Now, the difference between the ostrich and the MOA was that the MOA lived in New Zealand, where it had no natural predators, right? Because of its gigantic size, it didn't have to deal with predators. Now, ostriches in Africa have to deal with lions and leopards and hyenas and cheetahs, etc. So they're very good at evading predators. Now, when human beings settled New Zealand, they saw this giant walking turkey. That's not a MOA. that's Reteps Crush.
That's an Ewok. What are you talking about?
Yeah, no,
Rashida Jones is a beautiful woman.
Yeah, a MOA. That's what we're talking about.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, you've seen one, Patrick, in the museum. I remember you texting me. But so the short answer, Daniel, I don't think they're still there because when people settled New Zealand, unlike the ostrich, the MOA had no natural predators. So you could more or less walk up, bop this thing on the head and have a turkey the size of a Volkswagen Beetle to roast over a fire. And I think that's exactly what happened. Now, the reason I'm just reiterating, but the reason I don't believe it's still there is because this animal had no fear of human beings. If there was still a MOA in existence, I think it would come waddling out of the bush and a bunch of people would see it because it doesn't have that intrinsic fear of predators. It isn't elusive. It isn't shy. Mm. These animals were very much so out in the public eye, much like the dodo, and getting hunted and killed for meat until there were none left. So my honest answer, as sad as it is I don't believe there are any MOA left.
Yeah, it's also a pretty populated island, right? New Zealand, or two islands. Like it's pretty populated. Tough to say that there could be anything hiding there aside from a very small insect or something like that.
Right.
What about, right. So a lot of people commenting that the MOA, that the host eagle was one of its predators.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. It was a giant eagle, huge wingspan, largest eagle that ever existed. WT, if you could pull one up.
So what happened, Retep, was that the host eagle...
Mm-hmm.
Was this giant fucking eagle, right? Forrest, yep. I don't know what the wingspan was, like 8 or 10 feet.
Something like that. Eagle. Huge, yeah.
And what it would do is it would bomb down and it would smash the giant MOA in the head with its beak. this tree fall, and it would eat the moa. But when the Polynesians arrived in New Zealand and hunted out the moa very quickly, it took away the food source of the Haast eagle. There are no rodents really on the island, anything like that. And so then the Haast eagle died out because the moa died.
Okay.
But first, the one part that you're leaving out, Patrick, that is noted in several Maori folklore accounts, is that in between that period when they hunted out the moa, but before the Haast eagle disappeared, the Haast eagle had to find something else to prey upon, and it turned to the Maoris. So it was actually eating children out of villages, as the accounts go. So just imagine this eagle with this 15-foot wingspan swooping down and nailing kids in the village. Oh, like, how crazy is that? And eating them. So then the Maoris actually turn towards kind of killing and eradicating the Haast eagles out of fear. And that as well contributed to the speed at which they met their demise. Well,
and that was just an old folklore, but that wasn't a real thing, or did they?
No, there are historical accounts of Haast eagles taking Maori children. And, you know, this is kind of, the Maori don't have a history of literature as far as I'm concerned. So there's nothing to like support this. But if you go to New Zealand, it's very, very well discussed and known.
Fucking interesting, man. That's fucking crazy. These giant 15-foot wingspan on a bird. I'm glad it's not around. That could take me out easily if that thing fucking came from above. That's like a small plane.
Yeah, no, they're big animals. They were super cool.
Hey, Forrest, interesting comment from one of the Brosners. Hey, we need a Forrest Galante children's animal education show.
Huh. Interesting indeed.
That's so weird.
Imagine if, I don't know, say Patrick and Forrest put their heads together, came up with an incredible wildlife education show that were to take place all around the world with extremely odd, beautiful, and bizarre animals, somewhat similar to W.T. Willie's Bizarre Animal of the Week, except in show form. That would be a good show. I'd watch it.
We've pitched that
show to thousands of networks.
We have not. No, we haven't. Ourselves. Because truthfully, we are currently considering, obviously, Forrest and I both work in television. We're very much considering just appropriating the content that we wanted to do on TV originally, that because of COVID, everyone's like, you can't do any of that shit. And just doing it on fucking YouTube, man. Like,
TV's been a nightmare
to deal with. Like, why not just put it out there? Like, it's good content. Let's just fucking do it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, actually, Brosners, weigh in. Like, how do you guys feel? This is a perfect platform with which to ask this question. How do you guys feel about the idea of us launching a YouTube series? Like, I'd love to hear. Patrick Retep and I have spoken about making a YouTube channel that isn't just the three of us talking into a microphone and chatting with you guys, but actually going out and filming content like we do on Extinct or Alive. Would you guys watch that here on YouTube? Love to hear your comments. Let us know.
I sure bet they would. But also, one thing I wanted to say, guys, is it's time
for what?
Battle Royale! It's everyone's favorite. It's literally people are like, it's not going to be Christmas unless you guys do a battle royale. Like, people
I've heard that.
Love the battle royale. Yep.
It's why people tune in. What now, do you got, Patrick?
Here's what I'd like to do. Wild Times Willie, who's getting shit on in the chat, FYI.
Yeah,
he's getting shit on because he's not being active in the chat and people want to talk to him.
Got a lot going on back there. He's got to pull shit up, get shit done.
Wild Times Willie is a very handsome guy.
Yeah. I definitely want to fuck him. That's the only reason I suggested him to you when DM'd
me.
That's outrageous. He would not take you into his butt. Wow.
He's way out of your league, Retep. Way out of your league.
I am a handsome young man.
He wouldn't take you in him. All right, I like this. This was a Brosner suggestion from the chat. I copy and pasted it.
Nice. Okay. You know how to do that? So, I didn't think you did.
Yeah, Control C, son.
What about the paste?
Control V.
He's got it.
All right. What do you got? So,
there are prisons in Siberia.
Okay.
Where, if you watch Russia's Toughest Prisons on Nat Geo, they patrol the prison with dogs.
Okay.
So literally, there are no bars on the cell doors, but the prisoners know if they walk out, they will be fucking mauled and killed by Russian ovcharkas.
We've done this before.
No, mate. There better be a spin on this because we've definitely done this one.
Please continue.
Here's the battle royale suggested by Brosner and Matt McHugh. You have to police the human race with three species of animals.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's similar. The last one was about transporting and guarding just one.
No, this is different. I get it.
It's different.
It.
Yeah.
God, like you have a big head. Your head takes up half the screen.
Are you talking to me or Forrest?
Yes. No, you have a giant head, man.
Mate, I've never seen
you drunker. The only reason you make
drunker.
Fun of the size of my head is
bro,
because of the size of your head.
Did you start drinking at 8 a.m. today?
I haven't had a sip.
That's recording. We've seen you on air take sips. You, sir, are a liar.
And all seven peas because you have a tiny bladder. Brosners are talking
about it. Playing the drinking game every time Forrest mentions extinct or alive.
So three animals guarding the human race?
You want to control the human race with three animals. You have to build a team.
Okay.
It's going to be a snake draft, which Peter will instinctively screw up. So let's just let him go in the middle. Yeah, you're a disaster. I'll go first since I'm posing the question.
Yep.
So I got to build a guard staff. I want to control humans with these animals. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to start right off with bees.
Ooh, interesting. A little biological warfare.
Yeah, not murder hornets. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to start off with bees.
Okay.
Like little wasps. Are those the same for us? Those count as the same?
Well, yeah. So what's
your... They're not the same, but bees are wasps, either or.
Because they have the power of flight. They're a nightmare to deal with. If you've ever been swarmed by bees, there's no time you feel more fucking helpless than when bees are all around your head. It'll make you run into traffic. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
So I want bees patrolling humans if I can control them. And that's going to be my first pick.
I just want to point out that I got a text from my girlfriend who's watching live. And before you said bees, she said bees. And she's very angry that you picked bees.
I mean, look, if it's that much of a problem.
I'm just validating your pick. Relax. Have some coffee, mate.
Just send her one of Papa P's dick pics. He's got a whole Rolodex off.
Yeah, I mean, just
about the size of a bee.
All right, I'll go next.
I know you.
All right, we're talking about three animals to manage the human race. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. So I am a leader by power. So I'm going to lead with the fear factor. I'm going to put the fear of God into human beings, and there is one animal that stands above the rest when it comes to being the most terrifying creature on the face of this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that, my friends, is the humble goose. If you've never encountered a goose, they are absolutely terrifying. A goose coming at you at speed from a park is one of the scariest things that you can ever have to deal with. I would rather face a cobra than a goose 100% of the time. So I'm gonna pick geese to begin.
Okay. I guess I'm third, and that means that I pick two. Is that right? Is that how a snake draft works?
Very good, Retep. Very good.
Okay. Since I can pick two, I can put into place a little bit of strategy here, as in, you know, a game of chess and not checkers. My first pick is going to be an animal. Shut the fuck up. Is going to be an animal. Oh, my God.
Justin,
is that W.T.
What's up,
Willie? No, it won't be pigs.
Justin, what's he doing?
I don't know. Look at
this. He can't hear me because Patrick's got his headphones in, but he's got a pig, so that's fun. I hope you have a COVID test, you sick fuck.
Okay, my first animal is going to be a very simple animal. This animal is going to be used not for attacking, but I need an animal that's going to be able to basically tell me what's going on. It's going to be able to pass information to me. And it needs to be able to collect tons and tons of information. It's going to be a network of just your typical housefly. I'm going to have millions of flies flying around, and they will be able to survey the fucking land and tell me where the humans are, what's going on. They're impossible to kill. You won't have weapons.
Patrick is so unimpressed by your housefly pick. He's rolled his eyes three times.
Dude, that's bees that don't sting. Idiot.
It is bees that don't sting.
And, well, I mean, I have two picks, so my...
Oh, you just wasted one, boy.
Can you shut your fucking mouth? Can you just he shut cannot. Up for 1 second?
He cannot.
Oh, God. Okay, so my second pick will be the offensive bee that I... Or the offensive fucking animal that I need, which is going to be the giant hornet... The Asian giant hornet, which will kill, first of all of Pat's bees, no fucking problem. It will also be able to survey the land, although not in the numbers of my common housefly, because they reproduce and live for 2 weeks, and there's millions and billions of them, but your fucking bees will all be killed by my giant Asian hornet, because they love to feed on bees. Fuck you, Pat. My next animal will also be attacking your entire army.
Only have two. No, you only have two. You're done. Stop. You're done. You're done.
No, I know. So my next pick. My next pick, idiot.
Two insects. One is useless. Housefly? What a nightmare. Holy shit. What
very,
a bad pick.
Very unimpressed by your pick. All right, so Ritep, as this is your first snake draft, the way it works is I actually go next.
I just like to point out that a Brosner had a very good point in that Brian Arsenu said, isn't the point to police the people? I kind of lost sight of that with
you
my
did.
Pick. Yes, correct.
Yeah. You just got angry and wanted to be a
neither of you idiots called me on it. It's...
We're not gonna ruin. Right. We're not gonna jeopardize right.
Go
our chances of winning the
goose.
Battle Royale.
All right.
So Peter has mosquitoes and fruit flies. What's
the
next?
Police people? That's right. he's an idiot.
Animals and shredded wheat.
All right, so I've got the terrifying flock of geese that are going to just kind of rein you in general.
Like,
but
it.
What if you know? What if these people that we know and are trying to police, are trying to escape over things. If they're trying to go up high, they're trying to climb over things. You know, we have to have all our bases covered. So I also need a creature of the sky. But unlike the humble bee, the murder hornet, which I'm not entirely sure how that played into it, or the housefly, still not sure how that played into it, I need another aerial assault creature, right? Okay. Something that can police the people from climbing up and climbing over.
Smart.
But people... Now, keep in mind, people are not flying. They're not flying. They don't have wings, so I don't need a winged creature. Mm-hmm, so my creature just has to be better at climbing and more agile to police people trying to go up and over things. Mm. So I'm coming in with the orangutan, right? I've got geese on the ground. I've got an orangutan that's going to climb. It's going to be on skyscraper tops, on treetops. You try and go up. Tell me an orangutan isn't going to just rip you limb from limb. If you're trying to escape anything at all,
it's going to do that.
Yep, it will. Yep.
Okay.
I think that's a smart pick and much better than Peter's ant and fruit fly. So, look, I already have bees. There's a lot of them.
Yep.
They're going
so many bees.
I'm going to use the bees to drive you to certain areas if you're protesting and rioting against my policy, which is. You know what my policy is. You know what it is.
Okay.
Give it to us. Give it to us.
We'd like to hear
it. It's just a love, man. You just gotta love.
Oh, my God.
All right. Ritep, why are you so negative against
me? I'm literally just sitting here researching on Google. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
All right. So anyway, for
the 35th week in a row, he's Googled the word animals to try and pick up a couple.
Fuck off.
Right, so I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to have my bees drive people to the sea. Okay. I'm going to have them just make people go to the shore. They're going to go into the ocean. And I'm going to command all sharks. The good thing is I don't have to pick a species. I'm just picking shark. So I have lemon
that's
sharks,
broad.
Mako sharks, white sharks.
Yeah, that's broad.
I've got
that's
everything. Broad. Okay. Even whale sharks.
Yeah,
they're
you
just
got them.
Doing their thing.
All right, okay.
So you go into the ocean, you go, fuck, man, there's sharks everywhere.
They're not
everywhere.
On fucking Alcatraz, mate. What if this, never mind.
Just, there are sharks in warm waters, cold waters, medium.
What about on land?
Policing the people?
my bees are driving you to the ocean.
Okay.
When you get
your third
there,
pick, you better be. Jar.
And then,
so good.
By the way, you're also going to deal with my octopus fleet.
Oh wow, shark and octopus fleet.
They're
what
gonna
a
grab you.
Little. A lot of terror coming from the ocean.
Yeah, because the bees are going to drive them there. I have a coordinated attack.
You do.
Very, very good. I've won.
No,
next.
It's awful.
Forest and forest. So, next. So take your
I was going to actually
wait, is it my
quiz
turn?
Ritep to see if... Just no, kidding. God damn it, dude. It's insane. All right, so I go next, Ritep, and then you finally go for your last pick.
Fair enough.
So now, look, I have my ground assault covered. I'm still thinking policing the people. A goose. Mm-hmm. No one's taking it on. Laugh all you will, or don't, because it's not a very good joke. Geese are terrifying. Secondly, I have my orangutans to police people from climbing over things, going over the top. Now, as we all know, people like to burrow out of things. Every prison inmate, every movie you've ever seen where they escape from a prison, there's some burrowing with a spoon behind a poster.
Okay.
So what are we going to do about that? We have to keep people from burrowing, right? We're policing the people. Well, I'm picking the mole snake to keep on that. Now, the mole snake, super venomous, crazy-looking snake, comes from Southern Africa. A distant relative of the cobra family, super deadly, able to tunnel and burrow under the dirt, completely away from human beings. And if you so are one of these human beings trying to escape, and you decide you're going to burrow, you're going to get under things and get away, in comes the mole snakes. They attack you with their little sideways fang, and you die right there on the spot. Your skin melts off. That's the end of you.
All right. Quickly,
your housefly.
Quickly, shut your mouth. It's my turn. Forrest, quickly recap your creatures, just real quick, in name only.
Sure. Yeah, I have a goose, an orangutan, and a mole snake.
Okay.
Above ground, on ground, below ground.
Yep. I don't know. And Pat's got the sea covered, apparently, and only the sea and nothing else.
Pat has bees, sharks, and octopus. You have houseflies and hornets. Do you want to pick another irrelevant mosquito, maybe butterflies, to round out your team?
Shut the fuck up. So my next animal is going to utterly decimate and not be concerned with any of Pat's stupid bullshit animals or his insects. And we're not battling each other. I hate when you guys do that. So anyways, my next animal is the cheetah. The cheetah will be able to chase down any fucking stupid human that tries to escape. If they make it to the water, I'm not concerned because Pat's brigade of sharks and gnats will devour them.
They're not. Oh my God. You just so don't get how battle royale works. Please continue.
There's no idea.
What are you talking about? That's it. What are you talking about?
They're not in teams. We're trying to vie for the Brosner's vote here. They don't work together.
That's fine. I mean, your team is horrible. So is Pat's. It's obvious I'm the winner.
Dude, you're a
clown. You're a clown. Listen, Brosners, go ahead and vote. Let us know whose Battle Royale pick you like. I feel like this week's was a little soft, but hey, there is good
who they
news.
Like.
You know, Ritep started an OnlyFans account.
It's not
where
about
you
who they like.
See.
It's who wins.
Yeah, it is.
It's who wins.
It but look, let's talk about the important things in life, which is, you know, we've got merch. Ritep now has an OnlyFans account that people can pay $3 a month to see him with his shirt off in front of a mirror. That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
People enjoy that.
Yeah.
I'm not on it, but I've heard many people are. What else is news, Ritep? Where can the people find us? Tell us about what else is going on.
So I wanted to mention Brosner fucking, God damn it, can't remember his name. Let me go to the show doc. Nature,
smart.
You cruel, beautiful bitch. He's got the longest Instagram handle allowable, but he's been going through our YouTube videos and populating all the descriptions with bookmarks to all the shit that we talk about in all the in the podcast. So if you ever heard something, you want to go back and listen to it, you want to share just that piece with a friend or a family member, you can now go back. We'll have them all updated eventually. A bunch of them are updated now. So thank you, man. Appreciate you. You are awesome.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's huge. That's huge.
And thank everybody. Thank you, everybody, for joining the live. We made it past 100 concurrent viewers a couple times I saw in this live, even though Pat is fucking seven sheets to the wind, can barely form a sentence. Thank you for staying sober, Forrest. You guys can see all of our shit, links to listen to this, or watch it on YouTube, thewildtimespodcast.com/info. Links for the merch, thewildtimespodcast/merch. Love you guys.
Hey, that said, Forrest Galante.
Yes, sir.
TV shows. You talk about this all the time privately. We get so much more engagement with the bros and the broette.
It's insane.
On this podcast than we do from doing TV shows. It's so much fucking fun just hanging out with the bro, man.
100%.
It's fucking fantastic.
I feel like every time I do this, I feel like I'm engaging with a bunch of my friends. You know, like everybody messaged me. I message back. We bring it up on the show. It's just, it's great. I love doing this. And it's thanks to all you brosners that we will continue doing it because the pod's growing. You guys are tuning in. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love it.
And the other thing too, is it's like a community, man. So even if we're not able to engage the entire time, people are fucking starting conversations amongst themselves.
Hope that a few people fuck and make babies.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. Meat Tree, as you were called
Jenna Faber. She is the Meat Tree
in high school.
Incredible. Incredible.
But, also guys, I did make a subreddit where you guys can fuck around and post links and shit. It's just at Wild Times Pod. It's there. Obviously, nobody's there, so there's not much going on. But if you want to moderate it or post links or do whatever the fuck and engage with the community there, feel free. So that subreddit is there. Fuck you, Pat, mostly. Just out of everybody. Maybe next time you'll be sober. Love you guys.
Good night.
Fuck off.